fairly short message because I'm just bringing the application from what the children helped to preach. In John chapter 14, he begins, "Let not your hearts be troubled." And a lot of people have their hearts troubled. But we're in a Bible-believing church, and we don't want your hearts to be troubled. Jesus was very aware of people who are so concerned. And that's why our text is found all the way down in verse 26 and 27. And it says these things: "But the Helper will, and the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he'll teach you all things and bring to remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave you. My peace I give you. Not as the world gives do I give you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, neither let your hearts be afraid." After the communion charge there in the upper room, if you're thinking with me along the lines, you've been up there, you've heard all the quarreling, all the struggle. Jesus is dealing with these difficult disciples. They don't quite understand things yet. And my dad used to say, you know, they need peace. Jesus says, "I have peace." Okay? My dad talked about what war was like, not very often, but he told me about the peace of what happened when Queen Beatrice came back. And basically, it was put into this format from a child's perspective. He said, the absence of conflict is what peace was. The queen could come back to the Netherlands, where his homeland was, once the conflict, the fighting was over. When there was no more battles, when there were no more attacks, you could come home. Even Jesus knew about the troubles that people have because there is conflict. Everybody struggles with this, that, and everything else. Even Jesus was troubled. If you look at back in chapter 12, verse 27, he said, "My soul is now troubled." And if you remember, as Christian quoted it, he said, "Father, shall I pray that you would save me from this moment?" And then he kind of corrects himself and he says, "But this is the reason I came. I'm troubled because I don't have the joy about this separation from God." And that's the key here. Peace is what Jesus is going to leave them, and most of them don't even understand what it is. Do you have peace? Jesus tells us that this peace is about a broken relationship, not about a broken heart. Sometimes when we think about a broken heart, it always is, well, you know, my heart doesn't beat right. It has arrhythmia. It has cardiac attack. I mean, all those words that I'm hoping that never apply to me. You know, probably that you hope don't apply to you. You know, where you go to that heart doctor and you find, oh, you got heart disease. That's not what peace is all about. The peace that the scripture is talking about here, the peace has to do with the relationship with the Father. And so when you understand that, then Jesus says three things about this peace. First, it's a commodity that is owned. Secondly, it's a gift that will be distributed. And thirdly, it's an experience that is spiritual. I can quickly touch on these because I want to bring us to a place of peace and come to the Lord's table. But it's a commodity that is owned. Jesus is looking at the disciples there and he says, "My peace, it's mine. It's a commodity that's real. I own it." And so when you think about it, what did Jesus have? How did he get this peace? How did he possess it? And the interesting thing is that this topic is his alone to speak about. Who else has peace? Only Jesus has peace. And that's why he says, "It's my peace." And he says he knows about it because he didn't have to purchase this peace. The peace was actually his by being a part of the Godhead. I believe that the Father, Son, and Spirit are one God, three persons, all equal in power and in glory. And the peace that he's talking about is ever since eternity, which we can't even fathom, there's always been peace between the Son and the Father. They've never had a crossword. They've never had a misunderstanding. Or as I like to put it, there was no confusion. There was no competition. There was no critical spirit. Can you imagine having a relationship that has no negativity? You'd have peace. Don't you wish that our marriages all had peace like that? Don't you wish that our children would respect us and do Ephesians 6? You know, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." Wouldn't it be peaceful in your home if that was the case? But there's not a lot of peace. Jesus is the only one with peace. It's a commodity that he has being God because he has a relationship with the Father. That's where the peace is. Secondly, it's this, I mentioned before, it's a gift to be distributed. He says, "My peace I give to you." So it's kind of interesting that Jesus is in a position where he can give this peace away. You know, it's not like some food that he gives away. It's really interesting that he alone has it, and now he alone is going to make it available to others because nobody else can have it. How can he do this? Jesus said, I came to bring peace. I came to make peace. Because right now, when you think about it, how many people on their own are at peace with God? The Bible says there is none righteous, no, not even one. And everybody does what's right in their own eyes. Jeremiah actually says that our hearts are desperately wicked. So when you have a holy, holy, holy God looking at us, our response should be like Isaiah in chapter 6 of Isaiah. Woe is me. You can see that Jesus has to give it to us because we can't earn it, we can't get it, we can't secure it. And so the Bible says he came to give it. My peace I give to you. The third point on the sermon is that the passage reveals that this peace is spiritual. Since I mentioned before that the peace is with the Father, that if you can have peace with the Heavenly Father, then it all makes sense. Can you bring a few of those verses up? Romans chapter 1 verse 18 says it really clearly, that the Father, if you can find Romans 1:18, the Father is going to pour out his wrath. Do you remember the two cups? They were supposed to make it their way out here. There was the one cup that Jesus prayed that he wouldn't have to drink, and then we had the other cup that was supposed to be raised, which is the chalice we normally have at communion. Okay, if I bring them out here, you'll see it. But Jesus did not want to drink the cup of God's wrath, because the wrath of God is poured out on what? On unrighteousness, on sin. And how much sin did Jesus have? None. So the wrath of God shouldn't be poured out on Jesus, but yet that's the only way for him to give you his peace. He had to settle the relationship with the Father with you, is that he had to step in and take what you deserved. He had to drink the cup that was reserved for you and for me as sinners. When you understand that, then when Jesus says at the end of this chapter, after the end of the communion ceremony, and while he's doing all these prayers, he's saying, my peace, the peace I have with the Father, I want you to have it. And it's a peace that passes earthly understanding. And that's why if you go to Romans chapter 5, verse 1, you're going to see how even the apostle said, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have what? We have this peace that Jesus purchased, that Jesus secured. Because remember, he said in John 14, don't continue to be troubled. Don't be all stirred up. Don't be afraid about God. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I will get you to the Father. There's no other way except through me. And I'm going to leave in a few moments because I'm going to go to Calvary's cross. I'm going to fulfill the greatest moment in all of time, and I'm going to die for you. I want you to have that sweet relationship with the Father as I do. And if you go to Romans chapter 8, verse 1, you're going to see how he applies it. And he says, there is therefore now peace, because there's no more condemnation if you are under the blood of Jesus. Or as I like to use the analogy, if you're in the ark that is Christ. Because remember during Noah's day, when the rains came down and the floods came up, and the rains came down and the floods came up, you basically have the ark is the only place where you survive. The wrath of God was poured out on all unrighteousness back in those days, but those that were in the ark survived. And the peace that Jesus says, if you are in me by faith, spiritually, then the wrath of the Father will come on me and not on you. My peace that I have with the Father, I want you to have, and I'm going to go to the cross so that you might have it. And did he secure that peace? Absolutely. We find that when he was there on Good Friday, his last words, it is done. It's peace now. The wrath of the Father is taken care of. I ask you just a couple of questions. Paul warns that you might be judged if you don't discern the Lord's body when you come to the Lord's table. The table is for people who are at peace with God. There's a couple of warnings where he says, when you come to the table, do you partake worthily? If any of you are going to say, I'm worthy, then you have totally missed it. You see, the peace that you have with the Father is not because you have done good works. It's not by works of righteousness which you and I have done. It's not by our perfect performance of the 7 days of the Passion Week. My goodness, in fact, sometimes I think, our imperfections were the best part. You see, the beautiful thing is not the presentation of this gospel, it's the accomplishment of the gospel. Jesus literally came to the town of Jerusalem. He willingly went there because the peace that he had with the Father, there's no other way for you and I to have it unless he went willingly. In Philippians 4:7, he says, "May the peace of God, which surpasses the understanding that the world has, guard your hearts." In Colossians 3, he says that that peace of Christ, may it actually steer you. May it be like if you want to have the steering wheel, it guides your decisions. Because you know that that Father, the peace that you have with the Father, you don't want to lose it. How quickly we feel like we lose it when we fall into sin and lean on our own understanding. In Titus chapter 4, he says, or Titus chapter 3, he says, we are, by the goodness and loving kindness of our God, has now appeared, and we saw all that happen on that Good Friday. He saved us, not because of the works we have done by our performance, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration, the renewing of the Holy Spirit, he has now given us peace. If I could have the elders come forward at this time, I'd like us to bask in that peace. Almost like the feeling that I had when I was down at the Gulf Coast visiting my daughter. We were out at the beach and it actually was like 80 degrees. Yes, I remember that feeling. And the sun was shining bright and I felt the warmth. The peace that we have with the Father is oh so much better than any kind of temperature or any kind of vista. The peace with the Father is that there is no more condemnation. Are you at peace with the Father? Please, if the elders could come up, I'm going to set the table for us. The table is set a little differently than sometimes. We had a couple of the elders make a request that we would have communion like we did last week. It was very participatory. Okay, what we're going to do, if you could bring up the picture of the Dominican Republic guy that's standing there.